BlogTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Sarah.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock of Talk.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rock.
Since I have been on this earth, I have done a lot of horrible things to a lot of good people. And I'm man enough to admit when I am in the wrong. And I was wrong about you, Brian. I viewed you as this minuscule little creature chasing this uphill war that you could never win. I saw you busy chasing your little girlie friend around on television, buying a diamond. How long are you willing to live this life? How long until they discover that your dirty little feet are soiling their red carpet?
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
Being a scientist is really starting to pay off. A lot of people don't know about that, but being a scientist and being a pro wrestler at the same time, hypothesis, conclusion, same thing. He's the best, and I'm getting to the bottom of it. I'm like Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes was half detective, half scientist. He's science to figure out cases. Maybe when I get done with pro wrestling, I can be like the new Sherlock Holmes, but in real life, where I solve cases using my science.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Everywhere I turn, I'm on a mission to promote. But I ain't selling my soul with the dough, that's no go. I'm on the one-way ride to the top. I'm hitting the strip, I got a sound that'll rally the block. I'm in the fast lane and I won't stop. You ain't nothing but talk, you couldn't hang on the rope I walk.
This life that I live, it ain't for the weak. Got my rowdy ass gangsta.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, feeling much better this week. Thank you very much. And joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful, ever-crazy producer, Sir Rocket.
Ever-crazy producer. I haven't done anything crazy yet.
Today, you have not done anything crazy that I know of.
That you know of. A little Cypress Hill to bring us in tonight, though, probably.
If you say so. I've never heard Cypress Hill before, so.
You've never heard? You've heard of Cypress Hill. You just don't know you've heard of Cypress Hill.
I've heard of Cypress Hill. I have just never heard their music.
Oh, I bet you have. Without even knowing.
Possibly.
Anyway. Hi, everybody.
Anyway. We have a lot to get into this week, and we're going to have a lot to get into next week, but, well, let's talk about this week, because we've got news, we've got Elimination Chamber, finally we can talk about the Chamber.
Oh my God, oh my God, if you haven't realized, we've been waiting like 2 weeks to talk about this. No joke.
It's like, every time we prep the show, it's like, do you want to talk about Chamber? It's in 2 weeks.
God darn it.
They threw us with the schedule because they pushed it back a week. Mm-hmm. We are also going to do a little bit of NXT talk. We're going to preview the NXT Arrival next week on the WWE Network when we talk a little bit about the WWE Network. We've got, of course, tonight.
The producer's been watching NXT. You've been warned.
Yeah. I got him hooked on NXT. We're also going to be talking about, well, tonight's exciting Impact. Magnus Face Gunner for the TNA title. Who won and, well, who maybe changed sides? We'll have to see. But before we get into all that, we've got our question of the night.
With NXT coming to the WWE Network, which NXT superstar are you interested in seeing more of?
All right. I hope we got a lot of responses.
We got a few interesting responses for this one.
Sweet. So now we're going to jump right into the news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at PWMania.com for all your news needs. And, well, you know, we've got to talk about the biggest story of this week. And this is kind of, this is interesting. This is sort of changing the playing field. For you Dish customers, I am so incredibly sorry to tell you, if you didn't already know, that Dish Network has officially announced they are pulling all WWE pay-per-views, starting with the Elimination Chamber, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. there was news Sunday where it sort of started to spread a little bit that WWE and Dish weren't not Dish was not airing that Elimination Chamber because people were calling or going on their guy trying to find out, you know, if they could wear the event and weren't unable to and kept calling and calling, and well, they were given a couple answers and well, Dish is not offering the event. The quote from Dish Network: WWE has chosen to launch a 24/7 online network without TV partners that includes all of its pay-per-view events. As WWE enters the increasingly fragmented media world by themselves, Dish will continue to consider the value of WWE pay-per-views on an event-by-event basis. Dish continues to provide a weekly programming for Raw, SmackDown, Main Event, and Total Divas on a variety of networks. At this time, WWE pay-per-view events are not available on Dish. They went on to say on their Facebook page, Dish will not offer the WWE Elimination Chamber pay-per-view on the 23rd. WWE is not willing to adjust their pay-per-view costs to satellite and cable companies, which is unfair to their customers. WWE, we need to refocus our efforts to support partners that better serve Dish customers. Other satellite and cable companies, including DirecTV, have expressed interest that they will no longer provide WWE events in the future. That's DirecTV, Dish Network side. WWE side is, WWE is pleased that the majority of our cable and satellite pay-per-view distributors are going to allow the fans the option to purchase a traditional pay-per-view as we prepare to launch the WWE Network on Monday night. Unfortunately, Dish will not be doing so, and we hope Dish will reconsider from this Sunday's Elimination pay-per-view event, and especially for WrestleMania 30. That's a lot.
Basically, it's a gigantic FU from the Dish Network to WWE regarding the WWE Network, and WWE pretty much said FU right back. I mean, this is just me, and this is personal, but I think Dish is making a mistake. Dish, a big mistake.
Dish is making a mistake. Yeah, they are.
I mean, I understand that it's not probably going to affect their overall bottom line that much, but the WWE pay-per-views are still big business for the cable and satellite providers, and they do help bring in a healthy chunk of money. And seeing as Dish is struggling behind Comcast and DirecTV at this stage, yeah, that's not the wisest decision to kiss off money.
I'm going to throw some numbers at you. Dish provides 14 in 14 million homes. That's about 10% of the cable and satellite audience. What they would lose, I believe, is something along the lines with not offering WWE pay-per-views is $460,000, thing along those lines. I don't know if it's for this event, but they will lose a bunch of money off of it. The Dish Network sort of has taken a step to where it's they're taking a stand before the network even launches. During the conference call this morning, WWE sort of basically put cable companies and satellite companies going forward, we'll be working with them on a pay-per-view by pay-per-view basis. Everyone so far is on board for WrestleMania, and depending on how things go, they could provide other ones in the future, but right now it's on an event-by-event basis.
And that's probably how it's going to go for a while, you know, until WWE sees that whether the network is going to pan out or not. I mean, that's, WWE has put themselves in a tenuous position of the fact that the network could bomb. And if that's the case, and they've already kissed off all the cable providers, well, then they have nowhere to air their product except, you know, .com.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. So they, you know, and to be fair, WWE didn't say FU initially. I think they shocked all the networks by saying, you know, oh, hey, by the way, we're going to launch our own deal, but we still want to show our stuff on your service.
Right.
But it's something of, you know, everybody in the industry should have seen it coming a mile away, seeing as they've been talking about doing the WWE Network for you know, 4 years at this stage.
And here's the thing: this caught a lot of networks off guard. As much as we read the internet, it seems like those companies don't.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say who I spoke to, but I have spoken to somebody in that industry. I have a very, very close connection in that industry.
She has sources.
I have sources, yes. And I'm not going to reveal who they are because I don't want to get them in trouble. Not that, you know, they would listen anyway, but...
She's a professional journalist. She has sources.
I'm like Michael Cole, except cuter.
That's for damn sure.
So, but anyway, so yeah, this, you know, it did catch people off guard, but it didn't. I think what caught people off guard was more what the network was going to encompass.
Right.
And that includes the pay-per-views. I don't think the cable companies were prepared for WWE to basically take control of their own pay-per-views and start showing them on their own service. And it should be noted that WWE actually does not set the price of the pay-per-views themselves. WWE and the networks and the pay-per-view providers all sit down and they decide what the price of the pay-per-view is going to be, and it's usually driven more by the cable companies and the pay-per-view providers than it is WWE.
Right, which is why when WWE offers a pay-per-view event on WWE.com, it's the same price. They can't set the price. It's under contract, they have to use the same stock standard price as the cable industry.
Right. That's the general rule of thumb. So it's, you know, so Dish saying, well, it's up to WWE to set the price, that's a little ridiculous because they know WWE doesn't set that price. So it's kind of an interesting battle. It will be curious to see if DirecTV and Comcast follow suit. Somehow I doubt it. I know DirecTV's irked. I haven't heard anything about Comcast. I don't think, honestly, Comcast cares at this stage.
When it starts to affect their bottom line, yes. But WWE is the third in order. They're the third grossing for pay-per-view
behind
UFC and big boxing events.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So it's something of it's not going to affect their overall bottom line, but I think it's a little foolish of Dish to kiss off WWE events, especially with WrestleMania, seeing as WrestleMania is big money.
WrestleMania is the big money, and that's sort of everyone expected after WrestleMania stuff to happen. But Dish is taking the stand right away. Where you want to do it? Fine, we're gonna not let your viewers watch your show, which means more traffic on WWE.com.
Exactly. That's WWE just gained a whole lot of new customers for the network, or DirecTV gained new customers, or Comcast gained new customers. Dish, I think, kind of shot themselves in the foot.
I heard one story where someone was complaining to Dish about not seeing the WWE pay-per-view. And in exchange, they gave him, like, a free year of Encore.
Yeah, because it so makes up for it.
Yeah, because Encore has been relevant since 2003? Sorry, Encore doesn't show any movies anymore. That are really any good. Or new, I should say.
Yeah, so anyway, I think Dish might regret this later.
They may down the line, they may regret it, and WWE did the right thing. They didn't trash them.
Oh no, but I love their response to it, where it's, you know, Dish announces that they're going to be dropping all their customers, or all their the WWE pay-per-views, so WWE tweets out, oh yeah, by the way, you could totally buy the pay-per-view on WWE.com.
Uh-huh.
It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you can't get it on Dish? Well, fine, here.
Come
you
to
can
our,
buy here.
Come to our website. We will provide it for you.
Exactly. So, bravo WWE, they kind of sort of flipped the bird right back.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of the network,
yes.
There was another big announcement regarding the network this week, and that was the lineup.
Yes, the lineup has been officially announced. And boy, when I got a hold of this lineup, I was like, whew.
He's stoked. He's like seriously stoked.
She's heard it. I am completely stoked about this network. I'm like going to wake up Monday morning, WWE Network's going to be on television, or tablet or whatever, whatever device I can get on at the time. By the way, if you're an Xbox Live member, get gold to watch the WWE Network. That is a requirement. I found this out doing a little research. Anyway, when it comes to the programs on the lineup on the network, Lindsay, want to hear some of them?
Of course I do.
For starters, we have, as we've been talking about, to start off, WrestleMania 30, which will be live, plus the WWE Hall of Fame ceremonies we talked about last week will be live on the WWE Network, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern on April 5th. Speaking of the WWE Hall of Fame, there will be a one-hour special the Monday after, right after Raw. So they'll have the one-hour special, but to see the full thing unedited, you got to get on the network.
Right.
Every Monday night there will be a live Raw pre-show for both Raw and SmackDown, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern each of those nights, followed by WWE Raw Backstage Pass and WWE SmackDown Backstage Pass, which will include exclusive backstage interviews and analysis from that night's events.
You know, we would love to volunteer to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if you want us, we'll totally do it. We don't have any, you know, practice at all recapping events.
No, none whatsoever.
Also, on the show, WrestleMania Rewind, which premieres Tuesday, February 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern, with a sneak preview Monday, February 24th at 9 a.m. Eastern. So right at the launch time, you can see the first ever WrestleMania Rewind. WWE Countdown will be Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, and that will have the sneak preview Monday at 10 a.m. WWE Legends House is on Thursday, April 10th, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Well, that's interesting. We'll get back to that one in a second. Then there's This Is NXT. It's a one-hour special that takes viewers inside the action-packed world of tomorrow's WWE superstars as they inspire to become future stars in WWE. That will air Monday, February 24th at 11 a.m. Eastern. So that's a cool special.
I'm curious to see that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I kind of want to see the backstage workings of NXT. We got to see it a little bit in the Triple H documentary and kind of what he does with it, but I'm curious to see how it all works. So that would be really cool to watch.
Yeah, you get behind-the-scenes moment and in-ring action from WWE's Performance Center. Fans will get up close and personal with the next generation of superstars.
Ooh.
As we will be previewing later, NXT Arrival, which will air next Thursday, live on the network at 8 p.m. Eastern, which will feature a bunch of matches and superstars like John Cena, Sheamus, the New Age Outlaws, Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels. Prior to NXT Arrival will be the pre-show, which will air at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, which will have a panel on it, Lindsay.
Oh, it will.
Mm-hmm. Renee Young will host with, I believe, Bret the Hitman Hart, Kevin Nash, and Paul Heyman.
Ooh.
Now here's where things get interesting. Thursday night seems to be the wrestling block on the network, with actual wrestling and stuff. Because we told you about Legends House will be on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, starting in April.
Right.
WWE NXT will be every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, man!
I know. The conflict right there.
Somebody's not trying to compete at all.
Nope. And then WWE Superstars will be at 10 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays.
Y'all! Come on!
They're just stacking the deck right there.
Man! Do they not know? Okay, we're going to have to talk about this. We may have to have a discussion of what we cover on this show. Just more Rack Extra is coming in your future. Just be aware of that.
Yeah, so you're going to hear a lot from us. Because we want to talk about a lot of things. And you may just get a random Rack Extra about something on the network.
I'm okay with this.
Because, you know, you never know when we can pop on and do something. Anyway, also on the network, we have Beyond the Ring and All Access Pass to the fast-paced action of WWE's home video library. With classic matches and groundbreaking biographies of WWE legends, fans will have all the action from WCW, AWA, ECW, and WWE right at their fingertips. Premieres Saturday, March 1st at 8 p.m. Eastern. Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern will be the Best of Raw, which will have featured the most memorable episodes from the longest-running weekly episodic show in television history. You can get a special sneak preview of this event Thursday, February 27th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. So, you know, leading up to, you know, NXT arrival. Smart plan there. You'll also get Best of SmackDown. So that'll be Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. Same deal. Best matches and memorable moments from SmackDown, plus the extensive on-demand video library, plus probably coming soon, you know, WrestleMania Rewind. Monday Night War will be coming at a later point, apparently.
Yeah, Monday Night War is the only thing I think that did not get announced. By the way, we should let everybody know, because we discovered this the other night, if you're getting the network and you want to stream it through Xbox, you do have to have an Xbox Gold account.
I mentioned that 5 minutes ago.
Well, I'm just reiterating it.
She doesn't listen to me. That's the thing.
Never. I never listen to you.
Never. But yeah, we discovered it the other night. And it's like, oh, get gold. But yeah, you look at this lineup and it's like, watch, 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 watch.
Right? And that's just the initial programming. I don't know if we mentioned this on the show or not, but I frequently peruse the job listings for WWE just to see if there's anything I can apply for. By the way, I am totally hireable if anybody out there is looking for a graphic artist or anything. Just, you know, shameless shill. And I happen to notice that they're looking for a series producer. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they might be, it's called Project Evergreen, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be in the process of, now that they're getting the network up and running, they're going to be airing all their original content that they've had in the can for two or so years, that they might now be developing their own series as well. Which, if that's the case, that's pretty cool. I would actually love to see some original shows possibly using WWE talent.
I'm all for that. I know they were doing something with William Regal in the past, so you never know what they're going to actually put together. But yeah, I'm stoked for this network. Really, like, legit stoked for this network. It's like, shut up, take my money, I'm sold, I'm going to pay it when I wake up Monday morning, I'm going to get the network.
Yeah, it's going to go live early. They said originally 11:05 Monday night, but it looks like it's going to go live a little bit early. And so we get to see it Monday morning. So everybody, have your monies ready Monday, because, yeah, that's when the network goes live.
Right, it's available for your Roku, your iPad, your iPhone, your laptop, your computer, your desktop, your PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and Xbox 360. I believe it's available for Apple TV as well. So get your money ready. It's $9.95 per month.
Yes, for the 6 months. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to stay the price.
That's going to be the price. It's not changing. It's $9.95 per month with a 6 month commitment. So you have to commit to 6 months to get the network.
I'm okay with this. Totally yeah. Okay with this.
And they won't charge you up front. All of it up front, it's per month.
Yeah, it's kind of like your cell phone bill.
Yes.
Is the best way to describe it is you just pay on a per month basis.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of contracts and speaking of deals, more WWE news. We have a lot of WWE news this week. WWE announced that they will be continuing their deal with Mattel, so Mattel will be continuing to make their action figures and all the paraphernalia that goes with their action figures, as well as the majority of their toys. If you haven't seen the new line of toys that's coming out, they are fantastic looking. There's a Bray Wyatt.
There's multiple Bray Wyatts coming.
Can't wait. And there's apparently a Rowan and a Harper,
too. There's a Rowan. As we were talking with Matt Goldberg last week on the show, Rowan and Harper are indeed coming.
So, congratulations to WWE and Mattel for continuing their deal to make their fabulous action figures and toy products.
The deal is a 5-year deal, and it will go through 2019.
Wow. But, you know, another deal that's probably not going to go through 2019?
Which one?
Possibly Rey Mysterio's.
Yeah.
There's a rumor going around that Rey Mysterio's contract is coming up soon, so it's going to be questionable if Rey will re-sign at this stage. As we know, Rey has been battling multiple injuries now for several years, and it's something that he was out for almost a year this last go-around.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be something maybe that he signs a contract, but he kind of goes the way of either like Taker or Shawn did. Or could Ray Ray be done?
I would assume Ray Ray resigns, but probably for a lower contract.
I would guess so, yeah.
But because I can't see them wanting to lose the merch money off of Ray Ray.
Not yet, no.
Though everything with the Latino market in SmackDown is down since it's not based a Latino show anymore as it once was. So, yeah, Ray Ray will probably stay around, but he has one of those higher, you know, higher downside guarantee contracts. So he'll probably have to renegotiate for a lower price.
But we'll have to see if that happens.
We shall.
Or if it's even true.
If it's even true, yes. We'll see.
We will see. But, well, speaking of merch money and well, that thing, WWE had their annual conference call.
The fourth quarter, that was the end of the year, quarterly, whatever, conference call thing, yes.
And, well, there was an interesting series of comments made on that call, weren't there?
Yeah, Vince McMahon was on this call, and, well, he was asked about WrestleMania and CM Punk.
This is WrestleMania 30, so obviously it's a big number for us. This, in terms of talent, in terms of storyline, we think that this WrestleMania will be really, really big. As far as CM Punk is concerned, one of our performers, he's taking a sabbatical. Let me just put it that way.
Wow, Vince did not sound happy.
No, and that's the first time you've actually heard that audio.
Yeah, that is the first time I've heard that audio, and this is actually the first official comment coming from WWE regarding the CM Punk situation. And it came from the horse's mouth himself, Mr. Vince McMahon. And so CM Punk is, according to them, on a sabbatical.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, but yes, Vince did not sound happy. I imagine he was not pleased getting asked the question. I can only imagine his face.
Thankfully, it was a conference call.
Yes.
Not a live video stream.
But you could tell he's like, oh, crap.
He knew it was coming. They were expecting it, but still, like, we gotta address the Punk rumor. Okay, what are we gonna say? Sabbatical, that's fine. We'll call it a sabbatical and leave it at that.
Yeah, but clearly the situation is very much legit, and, well, I think it's not playing out the way Vince wants. I'm sure if Vince had his way, Punk would already be back.
Vince sounds like a man who wants CM Punk back, but CM Punk's not coming back anytime soon unless he shows up on the big work on March 3rd.
He could. That's D-Day. We'll find out, you know, potentially if this is a work. That's the first of many dates that Punk could return in Chicago.
It's not everyone expects him to return.
So we'll have to see if it actually happens or not. But yeah, I really have no transition for this, but I figure this is the best place to kind of put it. Because there was another big story, and we obviously didn't want to lead with it, but I don't want to close with it either. Sadly, the wrestling world lost another good man this week, actually a couple days ago, in one Nelson Frazier, a.k.a. Big Daddy V, a.k.a. Mabel, a.k.a. Viscera. Sadly, he passed away, I believe, Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, because we were on the phone
mm-hmm.
when the news broke. So yeah, it was sadly we lost him Tuesday night, and it appears it was due to a massive heart attack.
According to his wife, he was suffering from diabetes, but had dropped 100 pounds.
Good for him.
But sadly, there was too much damage done to his heart, as is usually the case at points where people get too heavy and try to cut back. Sadly, we lost him. He was 42, 43, if I remember correctly.
43, yes.
43, from reading all the reports. Apparently a very nice guy. Kept to himself a lot. But, yeah, sad to see him go. I still remember him. Still remember him from Men on a Mission and the King Mabel run, which didn't really go over so well. But they tried. I just remember him being carried on the big throne. It was like all those poor guys trying to carry that throne down to the ring.
Yeah, those poor men. I remember him as Viscera, and later obviously as Big Daddy V, but I remember when I first started watching, he terrified me. Because it's like, oh my god, it's this big scary guy in this gigantic overcoat, and he had the blonde mohawk and the contacts, and it's like, oh god, he's scary looking.
Right?
So, yeah, but rest in peace to him. Many prayers and thoughts with his wife and his family. And sadly, we lost another one. It's not okay.
It's never okay. So our channel goes, world's largest love machine. Yeah, that was bizarre.
I don't want to know.
You don't remember that gimmick?
I don't think so.
Remember where he came out of the big, you know, velvet jumpsuits and was hitting on Lillian Garcia?
Oh my god! I had repressed that! Oh jeez!
The world's totally largest love machine.
All I remember is towards the tail end of his career when he came out and he was wearing just the pants and the singlet.
That was Big Daddy V.
That was Big Daddy, yeah, that was Big Daddy V, but it's like, put a shirt on, man!
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, like, it was just, it was not okay. That's what I remember. Which is wrong, but, because I'm sure he was a tremendous human being, but it's like, no,
cover up the boobs. So, but yeah, it's sad to see him go, but always have the fond memories of one Big Daddy V.
Yes. And, well, speaking of making memories, we're going to transition a little into TNA news.
Yes, TNA news. TNA is looking for volunteers for the upcoming lockdown event in Miami. You want to go to lockdown and not pay for a ticket? Well, you can by volunteering to help with their autograph session at the TNA Lockdown Fan Fest. Everyone who works for TNA as a volunteer will receive 2 tickets to the TNA Lockdown event, and you can contact them at info@tnawrestling.com for more information. The work shift will be from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on March the 8th.
Now, it should be noted that this is not the first time TNA has done this. They've actually done it several times in the past. I've actually volunteered for them multiple times. And it's a really cool thing that they do every once in a great while.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have the opportunity to volunteer, definitely do it. TNA is always appreciative of people that help them out. You know, and it's not a bad deal. You go there for 6-7 hours, you stand next to talent, or you help work the event. You know, you get to meet a couple wrestlers, you get to go to a wrestling show for free. Not a bad deal if you can get it.
No, not a bad deal at all. It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, go to an event, go help. Help the company. They're going to give you tickets, probably good seats to the event.
Yeah, I forget which event it was that I think it was... Was it the Slammiversary? I think it was... It was either Slammiversary or it was Bound for Glory. It was one of the two, but it was one of the pay-per-views that they had in Atlanta. And it was the first time that they had come, and I remember helping out with, like, an autograph session and then being a part of the fan access and everything like that. It was a lot of fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely, if you get a chance to volunteer with TNA, do it. It's well worth it, trust me. The people there are very, very cool.
They are nice people over at TNA. Just wanting to point that out. They are good people over there.
They are. So, speaking of TNA, I say we take our first break of the evening.
Sounds like a plan to me.
And when we come back, we're going to be talking about all tonight's exciting Impact. What happened? Magnus defended against Gunner. Who won? And, well, who changed sides? So we'll fill you in on all the details when we come back right here on the rack on WildTalkRadio.com.
I am the master of this game, and everybody knows my name. And I will gladly make you see that you should not have messed with me. But you have thrown the gauntlet down on the gauntlet one who wears the crown. So I will gladly hunt you down, and I'm gonna stomp you into the ground. And you know it's true, I'm just better than you. See the fear that's in your eyes, I'll make you realize it worth. Oh yeah, here we go again.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Oh, apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a good thing or something. That's the old gangway. We don't want these friends. End of the world, Gangnam Style. Blah. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is that sexual position? Play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video, then. What the fuck? This is really weird. Oh, I thought the people were going to be showing up at the party. Where are you Gundam Style over here? That's the horse you are, my horse. Gundam Style. Not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sumi in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future. Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still. Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him. Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rob. I hope you wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you...
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you.
You're welcome!
Hey, what's up? This is Kaz. I'm great. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. Now we're going to jump right into tonight's, into tonight's Impact, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans. And tonight was a big night for the likes of Magnus and Gunnar.
Oh, yeah, that... We're in the main event for the World Heavyweight title.
Yes, so Impact opens with, well, Magnus talking to Dixie and the gang backstage. They have a pep talk of sorts, and there seem to be plans in the works. You know, and, well, they're set. Dixie doesn't want to share power, and, you know, she and Magnus have an announcement they want to make. Magnus says that, you know, well, if this doesn't work out, that he's not going to go down with her. Way to be a team player, Magnus.
He has one foot off the boat right now.
And I suppose, you know, there's always self-perseverance, but really? Really, dude? Already? Okay. You know, Magnus then tells Spud that he needs to watch out for the wolves, and Magnus tells EC3 that they need to play nice for right now, and then Magnus tells Dixie that, well, let him do all the talking.
Right.
We then cut to the ring where Magnus and Dixie are on their way out. Magnus calls out MVP, and of course MVP obliges him. You know, Magnus tells him that he has a few things to explain. He reintroduces himself and says that he's the World Heavyweight Champion, and that, well, Magnus, he's just not impressed with MVP's record or the fact that MVP spent 9 years in jail. I don't know why we're bringing this up, but okay. Magnus tells him that 9 minutes in the ring with him would seem like an eternity compared to 9 years in jail. Magnus then tells MVP that, you know, if he steps out of line, then he will make an example out of MVP. That's a really great thing to say to you, you know, your boss.
Right.
Just pointing that out, because, you know, he shares power with Dixie, which means Dixie's going to protect you, but he could turn around and fire you, dude. Just, you know, pointing that out. MVP, you know, tells Magnus he knows who he is. He knows he's the champ, because Magnus never shuts up about it.
Yeah, he's the World Heavyweight Champion. He's Magnus, the World Heavyweight Champion.
The paper champion.
Paper champion.
MVP tells Magnus that a real champion doesn't need to tell everyone he's the champion. Everyone just knows. Magnus then tells MVP that, you know, they've thought about it and the deadline has come. We didn't realize there was a deadline.
All right, hold on. Like, we watched the show last week and there was no mention of a deadline. Unless
right?
Unless we had a follow-up on Twitter at the 305 MVP and at TNA Dixie. I didn't see anything about a deadline. But, hey, there was a deadline for this week.
Yeah, apparently there was a deadline set. Nobody knew about it. Except for them. But basically, Magnus tells MVP that he accepts on behalf of Dixie Carter for the 4-on-4, but he then automatically declines to be team captain as he will be facing Samoa Joe at the pay-per-view. MVP then asks Magnus what makes him so sure, seeing as he's facing Gunnar, and Gunnar is a legit badass. And Magnus isn't concerned about Gunnar. Basically, you know, and there are words between Magnus and MVP as having a hard time hearing.
Magnus vowed to make MVP, you know, his, as MVP said a couple times, you better not, biatch. And then the fight was on.
Yeah, I heard that part, but there were words between the two before that. But yeah, Magnus saying biatch, no. Just No. No.
Can't handle his biatch? No.
No, never say that again, dude. I mean, I thought I was white. That's just, no.
He's even too white for you.
Yeah. Honey, no. Just use the regular word. It's easier. Anyway, as Rock said, you know, a brawl breaks out between MVP and Magnus. Dixie quickly bails. EC3 comes in to help out. Magnus and EC3 beat down MVP for a little bit. Gunner comes out of nowhere to make the save. The Wolves break through Spud and make it down to the ring, where Magnus and EC3 then bail.
Well, Magnus bailed. EC3 got a kick right through the chest.
Yeah, from the Wolves.
Yeah, Magnus, like, totally walked right by and left, basically, as we'll get to, fed him to the Wolves.
Yeah, pretty much. So that sets up the 4-on-4 at Lockdown for control of the company, and Magnus at the stage is out. So, well, we're going to have to find a captain for Team Dixie.
Yes, we are going to have to find a captain for Team Dixie. This match is set up, but I thought it was set last week. I was confused.
Yeah, the segment kind of left me feeling a little lacking. It was nicely done, but it's something of, it's like you know, there's a deadline and we didn't know there was a deadline. And it's the match, they set the match last week, or they announced the match last week, and I realized Dixie had to formally accept.
I thought she...
No, she didn't. She didn't formally accept it last week. She kept saying no, she wasn't going to do it. And then I guess she reconsidered during the week, and now they're formally accepting.
I guess so.
Yeah, I don't know. This was a little confusing. It was a little convoluted. But they did a pretty good job of setting it up, so it's like, okay, I'll let it go.
We'll let it slide for now.
Backstage, we see Bobby Roode arriving. The roving camera catches up with him and asks him, about basically the situation. And he says that anything he has to say, he plans on saying it in front of the world. So Bobby's got some plans up his sleeves. Backstage, basically, EC3 had him mad at Magnus.
Mm-hmm. And basically he talked about how he threw him to the wolves. And then Magnus told him to, stood up and told Carter to fall in line and do what's best for the family, because you're doing the best for Aunt Dee. And Carter sarcastically said he gets it and he'll make sure he's out there. I'll be out there, buddy. I'll make sure. I got your back. I got it.
Yeah, well done to EC3 on that.
Mm-hmm.
That was well done.
Yeah, that was actually well done.
Out in the ring, we have Samoa Joe, and he says, he gets to face the winner of the title match, between Magnus and Gunner at Lockdown. But, well, that's left his dance card a little empty for tonight. And, while everybody else may have come for a title match, he came for a fight. So he then proceeds to call out any of the residents of Dixieland to come and face him. The Bromans and Zima Ion answer the challenge. Hate that horn so much. Hate it.
I know.
I was waiting for it too.
I know you were.
They came out and I was like,
she knows when they're in the show, you're going to hear the horn.
Yeah, you're going to get the horn because King Kittens likes the horn. So, up next.
I'm going to leave that one alone. We'll wait for
we know he likes Christian's horn.
Hey. And for that, I go.
Oh, Lord, he broke out the soundboard.
We have a rim shot now.
Awesome. So, basically, the Bromans and Zima answer the challenge. Joe asks him which one it's going to be. It's kind of evident it's going to be all three of them. And he says, all right, fine, screw it. Let's go, all three of you. And so the fight is on between the Bromans and Zima Ion versus Samoa Joe. This is a quick match. You had Joe make quick work of all three of them.
Pretty much. Joe won. He made Zima Ion tap out.
And I'd like to point out, these are your tag team champions.
Tag team champions of the world.
Tag team championships.
Yeah, I know. And, well, Samoa Joe's the number one contender. The badass himself. Well, and he destroys people.
Yeah, but still, it's like you don't make your tag team champions look completely weak and ineffective.
Eh. I'm with you, but Joe's gonna kill you.
Oh, I know Joe's gonna kill you. And I wouldn't argue with Joe, especially when he's in a mood.
And Joe's been in a mood lately.
Yes. Yes, he has. Backstage, we see Sam Shaw beat up a guy who's talking to Christy Hemme and helping her out with her, I guess, her earpiece.
Her battery pack wasn't working.
So Shaw, you know, drags him off and beats him up. It was rather creepy.
Yeah, she was backstage because her battery pack wasn't working because she's too hot, and that sort of made Shaw go in crazy mode and destroyed the dude.
Yeah, like legit.
And then he took the battery pack.
Yeah, this is getting creepy, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not done. Just pointing that out. Backstage, basically, we see Bobby Roode and James Storm having a talk. Where Bobby's telling James that, you know, he's made a lot of mistakes and he's sorry for him. And, you know, basically we see Bobby kind of full of regret over the things he's done. But he says, you know, the stuff that we did, that was special. And James basically is telling him, you know, I know what you're thinking of doing. Don't do it. You know, it's something if we got in this business together and if this business smacks you around, well, you need to smack it right back. If you know, and sometimes you just got to deal with the people you don't like.
Mm-hmm. This business is a dog-eat-dog one, and they knew it coming in. The only person responsible for their actions is us, and then they shared a hug and thanked him, and Roode walked off.
Yes. By the way, James's hair looked really pretty.
You liked his hair?
It looked really nice in that shot. I don't know why, but it's just the way that it was falling in that shot, it looked really good.
Okay.
Sorry, James Storm has nice hair. I'm sorry. Deal with it.
Did I say a word?
I'm more talking to people who rolled their eyes, because I know invariably somebody rolled their eyes.
We could talk about someone else's hair that we saw a picture of today, but we won't.
Actually, it's better than how it's looked in a couple other pictures. At least he has hair on his chin.
Hair on his chinny chin chin.
And it's such a pretty white, too.
No, it's really not. It needs to go.
I think it's pretty.
Well, that's you. It needs to go.
Anyway, well, we may talk about that later. Elsewhere backstage, MVP and Austin Aries basically sit down and have a chat. MVP makes an offer to Austin to be part of his team. And Austin asks MVP, you know, what he's willing to do for him. As Austin sat in his position many times before, he's had promises made and, of course, promises broken. MVP basically tells him that, you know, he can impact the past. There's nothing he can do about that, but if he can get control of the wrestling operations, then he will make positive changes for the future. And Austin says, well, he's got to think about it.
MVP wanted him to be the anchor for his team at Lethal Lockdown.
Yeah, and Austin's like, I'm not the anchor, I'm the guy that peps everybody up.
He's the spirit squad?
Yes.
Kenny, Johnny, Nikki, Mikey, Austin!
It fits. I mean, he is the greatest man who ever lived, so...
That he is.
We also see a, basically, video package highlighting the UK tour, which leads to, you know, basically a setup for Madison Rayne and Gail Kim. They're shown backstage having a cat fight. They have to be pulled apart where the cameraman is commentating. He's like, oh my god, this is great! Oh my god! It's like, get help, get help! It's like, you put down the camera and pull them apart, you idiot!
He has a job to do to record them. His job is to record the women.
You have one job, dude, and you're doing it. Well done. After this, we get Madison Rayne versus Gail Kim in a non-title street fight.
I was surprised it was non-title, but with the result, I'm not really surprised. We had Madison Rayne attack Gail Kim with a cooking sheet before the bell even started up the ramp. They brawled a little bit. We had the figure four in the ring post. But in the end, we had interference from distraction from Lady Tappa, allowing Gail Kim to pull out the desperation win for the victory. Gail Kim beats the Knockouts champion basically in a 2-on-1 street fight. Keyword street fight where you wear short skirts.
Okay, I want to rant on this a little bit.
That was the setup.
Thank you. If I was going to be in a street fight, I wouldn't wear the least amount of clothing possible, just because it's like you're going to get hit with all kinds of foreign objects, and while clothing doesn't provide a lot of protection, at least it provides some.
Right.
So, like, you know, the very least, it's like I would have worn, like, shorts and a t-shirt or something. But, yeah, it's like I wouldn't have worn my ring gear, especially for Gail Kim, who wore white.
Who wears white to a street fight?
And then got a bloody nose.
Mm-hmm.
Should note that. Gail Kim got a bloody nose in this match. So it's something of, yeah, it's just, it's like, it seemed a little silly to me that you're having a street fight and you're coming out in your ring gear, which it's your ring gear, and I get that's what you want to work in. But it's, you could have, I don't know, worn jeans in your top or, I don't know. It just, it seems silly because it's like they're both running around in their ring gear smacking each other with cookie sheets. It's like, what? Who does that?
They do it. And we should point out, if you do get in a street fight with Lindsay, she's a badass and will put the fear of God in you.
Yes, because apparently people are afraid of me.
Little old Lindsay, they're afraid of her.
I'm 5'2". I don't know who would be afraid of me, but I'm 5'2".
Five foot two and packs a punch.
Apparently. After this, we see Mr. Anderson talking to Christy Hemme and showing her pictures of his twins. Shaw sees it, and, well, he's not happy, but he walks off. We then get a nice Gunner package, which I know you kind of want to rant on.
It's not a rant. It's more of, like, it was just bad timing. It was a nice video package, but it didn't get me hyped to see him fight. It was there. Nice story of his background. It was really well done. It had Gunner's wife kind of about his signing of the contract and his backstory in the Marines or military or whatever it was. It didn't help that it was in the it was bad commercial placement for the show. It was like the ASPCA was one, and right then you had this video package, and then after this you had the UNICEF one. It was just very depressing. It didn't get me excited for pro wrestling.
Yeah, I had to kind of agree just a little bit. My issue was, you know, obviously this is pre-taped, and, you know, me being me, I read the spoilers. And it was like I was watching this video package and knowing how it ends, it was like, you did this wonderful video package for him only to have what happen, which we'll get into a little bit later. And it just seems kind of like a waste.
But they were trying to get you to buy in, and I get it, but it just didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. It was a really well-done package, and props to Gunner for everything he's done and how far he's made, and I'm not trying to take a shot at that at all, but it's just like, you're watching it, and you're like, this really isn't...
I'm looking for excitement now in the show, and it just sort of wasn't given it to me in all the big chunks I was looking for to start.
Yeah. Anyway, after this, we see Gunner and Storr backstage. They're talking, and then we also see Bobby Roode on his way to the ring. After this, we got a little, you know, basically a recap of Kurt Angle and his injury, and then also, you know, again, the announcement that he will be going into the Hall of Fame next week on Impact.
From London.
Ooh. The roving camera then tracks down EC3. They ask him to comment on basically ending Angle's career. EC3 basically says, you know, he'll let Angle make the announcement next week.
We should mention Angle just had knee surgery.
Yes.
And hopes to be ready and cleared in the next few weeks.
Yes. So after this, we see Gunner and Storm. They're in the locker room. Storm's trying to pep Gunner up. for the match. They're both really excited. I mean, that's kind of all I remember from it.
And then Magnus gave him the briefcase, the other briefcase.
You mean Gunner?
Gunner.
Yeah, Gunner gave Storm the briefcase for the tag title shot, so it's now in Storm's possession, and Gunner is going to cash in the World Heavyweight. So with the intention of, obviously, that Storm and Gunner will reclaim the tag team titles.
After Gunner wins the world title tonight.
Yes. Which we'll get into.
Foreshadowing.
Just a little bit. After this, we have Bobby Roode make his way out to the ring. He was slow to get in the ring, and he took his time kind of getting the microphone in his hand. And he starts out by saying that for the past 11 years, he's been proud to call Impact Wrestling home. He says that we all have dreams, and that for the past 17 years, he has lived his dream as a wrestler. It's been an honor to lace up his boots and perform in front of great wrestling crowds like the ones in Manchester.
Yeah!
But he also has a lot of regrets. He's ruined friendships and destroyed alliances. He can't change the past, but he can change the future. That's why he's here tonight. He says that tonight is his last night as a professional wrestler. Everybody chants no at him.
No! No! No!
That was actually kind of awesome.
Yeah. By the way, since we're going to pull out the soundboard.
No!
Yes.
Continue.
Anyway, he says he can't do it anymore, that he hates himself when he sees himself in the mirror, and he also can't stand Dixie. He can't take it anymore, and he just has to walk away. But before he goes, he wants to, you know, do something he's never done before, and that's thank all the fans, which he promptly does.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Bobby. Lindsay's very thankful for the robe all these years.
Thank you for the robe, and thank you for, you know, riding in that car with me one time in Jersey for 3 hours.
Name. Dropper.
Sorry. It's true. I got crammed in the back seat of a car once with Bobby Roode and Matt Bentley.
Name. Dropper.
That's not the only name I can drop. And I won't. So all I need is a movie reference and then I can go to bed?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Dixie comes out and stops Bobby from leaving. She says that Bobby doesn't decide when he leaves. He has a contract. And he can't leave till she says so. Dixie tells Bobby that, you know, AJ, Jeff Hardy, and Sting all caused her problems, so they had to go. But Dixie needs Bobby.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to stop it right there. Okay. I got a problem with this.
All right.
Since we just did the whole segment, a little bit of name dropper. Dixie Carter, stop name dropping. They're not with your company anymore. Stop trying to pretend they're coming back.
Well, to be fair, Jeff Hardy is.
But Sting and AJ Styles. Come on now.
There's a potential AJ could come back, but yeah, Sting's done.
Stop the name drop. We got it. Stop the name drop. Anyway, continue.
They're going to milk that cow for as long as they can.
Oh, that's, I know.
Because it gets her a pop. Anyway, Dixie needs Bobby. Bobby tells her basically too bad that he doesn't want to work for her anymore. Dixie then kind of begs Bobby to stay. She then offers the captain's position on Team Dixie to Bobby. And Bobby asks her why he should trust her, especially after all the broken promises. And Dixie basically tries to sweeten the pot by offering him 10% ownership of TNA. And if he wins. If he captains the team and they win, Bobby Roode gets 10% ownership of TNA. Bobby doesn't trust her. He doesn't believe her. And she tells him that, you know, he'll get his lawyer to draw up the contract and she will sign it. Blindly sign it.
That's the key right there. Blindly.
On a stack of Bibles in front of a judge, sign it.
I smell a swerve coming there.
Oh, there's a big swerve coming, because you know Bobby Roode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like when she said that, I will blindly sign it, it's like, oh, she's about to get screwed, because this is going to bite her in the ass.
Uh-huh.
Because you know what's going to happen is even if Bobby's going to work it in there, that even if he loses, he's going to get something.
Uh-huh.
you know, Bobby thinks about it, and he tells, you know, then tells her, well, they have a deal, but that if she screws him over, then he will dedicate his life to making her life hell.
Pretty much, yeah.
After this, we see JB interviewing a German dude who's apparently the boot camp fan choice.
The online gut check winner, Bad Bones, from Germany.
Ah, fair enough. Sorry. Sorry, German man.
Bad Bones.
Bad Bones. Sorry. So sorry. But behind them, we see Sam Shaw attack Christy Hemme and Mr. Anderson. Christy gets knocked out in the process, and Shaw basically walks off with her.
And they question where is he taking her. But, okay, why is Christy backstage? Isn't she the ring announcer? Shouldn't she be out there ring announcing?
Well, it's not like they were having a match.
But you should sit out there like all announcers do. Like she normally does. It just was very weird that she was in the back and not ring announcing.
She was taking a break.
It's a pretty long break.
Shh.
I'm just saying.
Shush!
I'm just pointing out the logic, alright?
There's no logic in wrestling. What are you talking about?
I've come to realize this.
Anyway, elsewhere backstage, we see, you know, Bobby Roode and Kaz and Daniels walk up to him. They're all jazzed. They're all excited. They want to be a part of Team Bobby. They want to get the, you know, the league back together. And Bobby's like, you know, no, I can't just bring my friends on. You got to prove it to me that you belong on the team because I need the very best. And, you know, so he tells them, you know, you've got a match right now. Go prove it.
And the match was against the Wolves, Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards.
This is actually a really good match.
Really good match. Wish they had more time. But it was a nice, quick, it got me back into the show.
Yeah, it was very fast-paced. It was exciting. It got you back into the show. Because there had been a lot of drag, honestly, up until this point. So it was nice that they brought you back into a little bit with a really good, exciting match. Sadly, Bad Influence did not pick up the victory as the Wolves continue their dominance over TNA.
Aw, poor Bad Influence. Aw.
Well, you know, maybe we should think about talking to either one or both of them about that. See how they feel. Hint, hint. Wink, wink.
Anyway.
Backstage again, we see Sam Shaw. He takes Christy into a trainer's room where she wakes up. She's asked, you know, what's going on.
Where's Anderson? Where's Anderson?
Yeah, where's Anderson? We were looking at pictures of his kids. And, you know, Sam tells her he's got everything under control before he, you know, randomly spots the cameraman there. And yells at the cameraman.
Bye-bye, cameraman.
Bye-bye, cameraman. He's gonna kill you.
Shaw's gonna kill you? Maybe.
I guess.
Maybe.
Anyway, we get another Willow promo.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Willow is coming.
Willow is a little odd. We get a package highlighting Magnus. And then we get Magnus versus Gunner.
Solid match. Slow to start. Picked up at the end. But it was slow to start.
Yeah, it was very slow. They were both very methodical. They kept trying to figure each other out. I don't think they meshed very well.
No, they really didn't. You had Bromance, Zima Ion hit the ring at one point. You had Rockstar Spud get involved. You had James Storm get involved. You had the Wolves at ringside with James Storm protecting the ring. Everyone was getting everywhere. People were flying. Rockstar Spud got thrown over the top rope at one point by James Storm. A lot of near falls towards the end. Magnus at one point hit his flying elbow, only led to a two count. At this point, as I mentioned, Spud got thrown out of the ring by James Storm. Gunner was on the top rope, coming off the top rope, and BAM! Super kick by James Storm to Gunner, allowing Magnus to retain the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay, I want to rant on this before we continue, because I call BS. And this is no offense to James Storm at all, because I love my cowboy. All of you know this. I love my Stormy. But I refuse to believe that a smack to the head with the TNA title doesn't even faze Gunner, but falling on James Storm's foot does.
James Storm has a powerful foot.
Apparently he does.
He has a magical boot.
He does, because it's just like, wait, what? Because I saw it coming a mile away. I was like, I know exactly how this is going to end. Storm is going to super kick Gunner, knock Gunner out, and that's how they're going to pick up the victory, and I'm going to call BS when it happens, especially when Gunner got smacked in the head with the title, then proceeded to repeatedly slam his head onto the ring post himself.
Yeah.
And it didn't faze him. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, this was an okay match. It wasn't the best I'd seen. Like I said, it seemed like Magnus and Gunner really didn't mesh that well. The stuff with Storm at the end was nice. Because now that obviously leads to, tension and drama. And, well, Storm has shown his true colors.
Can't trust the old cowboy now, can you?
Lesson one, never trust James Storm. Ever.
DTA.
He's pretty to look at, but don't trust him.
DTA, don't trust anybody.
There you go.
So that's Impact.
That's Impact. It was just a, I don't mean to sound negative, but it was just an okay show.
Very slow. Usually when it comes to Impact, you don't feel like it's 2 hours. That felt like 2 hours.
Yeah, it had a lot of drag because there was a lot of time in between the matches, and it was something of, you could tell there was a lot of stalling in the show, and I almost wish that the wrestling had been longer, and that would have helped.
Better,
but the matches were kind of short.
Until the main event. And the main event they showed a lot of, so they got the commercials out of the way early, and then let us see a lot of the main event, but still, it dragged a little, it was very slow moving, extended commercials between backstage segments.
Yeah, so this wasn't the best, but this wasn't by far the worst. So it was just okay. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious to see where they go next week. It looks like they've got a lot of big things happening in next week, so hopefully next week is a good show.
Kurt Angle's going to Hall of Fame next week.
And well, we've got fallout between Storm and Gunner, and you know what happens when two rednecks get into it?
Oh yeah, things get wild.
Yeah, so we'll have to see where that goes. But speaking of going, I think we're going to take our second break of the evening. And when we come back, we've got, of course, our Elimination Chamber preview. We're also going to be previewing NXT. We've got our question of the night, you know, which is with NXT coming to the WWE Network next week, which NXT superstar are you most interested in seeing more of? And, of course, we have Tweet of the Week, where Rock will read you 50 tweets.
I don't know if it's exactly 50 tweets. And one thing before we go to break, Exana needs better music, and the bull did not have painted on muscles.
Thank God.
Someone listened to the show.
Yes, somebody listened to my plea of please stop painting the muscles on the bull's outfit. But you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
You aim to be wrapped around your grave. You go too far. Who do you think you are? This is what you came for. Will this be forever?
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. And now we're going to take a little break, and we're going to have a little fun, and we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So I'll go first, because I have, like, three. So, AJ Lee. Power tools, because my off days don't quite give me the brush with death I'm looking for. AJ Lee again. I scheduled a dentist appointment on Valentine's Day because I am terrible at being a woman. And Corey Graves. Dear Your Name Here. That night in your hometown was when I knew that you were the only one for me. Hashtag Happy Valentine's Day. Hashtag Filth Parade.
There you go. My turn?
Yes, your turn. Go.
Betty freaking White. Roses are red, violets are blue. The candy you gave me diabetes type 2. Betty freaking White. So it turns out Human Centipede is not a sequel to A Bug's Life. No. No, it's not. I've seen it. Opposite. Complete opposite. It can scar you. Not Sports Center. Tonight on a special Sochi 2014 episode of The Walking Dead, Walker Bob Casas attacks Chris Collinsworth. Will anyone even try to save him? Ike Reese, a former linebacker for the Eagles. My son, I can't take any more of this singing. Can't they start the game already? Ha ha, classic NBA All-Star game. Yeah, the lead-up to All-Star game was like 50 minutes. Wow, it was really, 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 really long. I was like, get to the game already. God. It's like 9 o'clock by the time the game started. Really long pregame. It was. It's like, God. Anyway, bet it freaking white. I'm just going to come out and say it. That green M&M is a slut.
Hey now, them's fighting words.
Mm-hmm. Brad Maddox, first person to correctly guess the amount of hairs in Daniel Bryan's beard, gets to be director of operations for an hour. Include hashtag GM facts. No one was able to successfully get that, however. Katie Nolan. Okay, I don't get ice dancing because that dude in the cable knit sweater just let that girl stand on his crotch in skates and didn't get a prize. Yeah, I don't get dancing, the ice dancing either. MJK Public Relations. Hi, Mark. That ice dancer totally botched that F5.
Well done, Mark.
Spike Eskin. I will take one pair of pants that I can pull up to my armpits, please. Yes, sir, Mr. Belvedere. Matt Champagne, just some random person, for the hashtag Dirty Geography. The Bermuda Triangle. Another one for Dirty Geography. The Southern Hemisphere. You know, below the equator. Dirty Geography. Hannah Montana after age 19. Ted DiBiase goes. Ted DiBiase Jr., I should say. Can I get your autograph, Cody Rhodes? Hashtag Rhodes to the future. Cody responds. Unlikely. Where are you? Betty freaking White. If I could travel back in time and show my younger self today's iPhone, I bet my younger self would say, you have a time machine? Betty freaking White. Do you think that gold medal winners of curling think to themselves, crap, what now?
Yes.
For the hashtag bad Olympic events, Betty freaking White. Spermicidal luge. Another one. Tonsil hockey. And finally, for bad Olympic events, vanilla ice dancing. That's tweet.
That's what regular ice dancing was.
No, this is vanilla ice dancing. It's different. Totally different.
Totally different?
Mm-hmm. But that's tweet of the week. So you only had like 15 or 20.
I'm so proud.
I've cut back from the big 50.
Yeah, I know you have. But your cap is still 50.
I know. I don't think I ever... Did I reach 50? Or was it like 46 or something like that? Whatever.
Still, your cap is 50.
I know I have a cap. I've been put on a... She has me on a leash.
When he hit 46, it's like, no. That's it. No. I'm cutting you off. You're done. Because he would have gone with more. Just pointing that all out. And then we would have been here for an hour.
You know what? I try to provide content for this show. And I get, I get taken shots at repeatedly. I'm trying to bring some best entertainment for the people right here listening to The Rack. Yeah!
Somebody provide content for the network? What?
What? Anyway.
Anyway, moving on. So we're gonna save Chamber for last because that's a nice little note to go out on. And now we're gonna preview NXT because I know not everybody watches NXT. Everybody isn't familiar with it. But if you get a chance, you can check it out on regular Hulu or through various other means that we do not encourage at all.
I'm looking forward to watching it on the WWE Network starting next week.
Yes, I'm actually really stoked to be able to see it on a regular basis, just because if you've ever tried to watch anything on Hulu or Hulu Plus, no offense to them, their ads suck.
Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, without question, they do. It's like, you can't, like, with the normal things, you can skip through them, but no, you can't even skip through these. It's like, every time you try to skip through stuff, it just, yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, so it's going to be really nice to be able to watch NXT as well as several other programs pretty much ad-free, which will be awesome.
Right, and if there's an ad, it's something where it's 30 to 60 seconds. Okay, it's like watching live TV. I can deal with 30 to 60 seconds of an ad for something. It's like, that's not a problem. But not, like, trying to just see one part of NXT was a struggle on Hulu because you would have to, you know, it starts with the ads, then you try to skip ahead. Once you skip ahead, you have to sit through 3 more minutes of ads before you get to what you want. It was always a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so this will be really nice to have WWE Network available where we get to see NXT and we get to see all our favorite NXT superstars. And like I said, if you haven't seen it, give it a chance, watch it, because WWE has some absolutely phenomenal talent down in NXT right now. I mean, we're seeing that talent come up because obviously NXT is the group that gave us Shield, gave us the Wyatt family. You know, you could go on and on and on. AJ, you know, it's all the wonderful new talent that's coming up. They're training down in NXT, so it's really cool to be able to go down and watch NXT and see people grow and progress in their characters and really in themselves before they come up to the main roster.
Right. And this is where we segue and say our question of the night is...
Our question of the night is as follows... With NXT coming to the WWE Network, which NXT superstar are you interested in seeing more of?
Paige, Solomon Crowe, Corey Graves, CJ Parker, The Ascension, Paige, Sami Zayn, Sylvester LaForte, Tyler Breeze, Paige, Leo Kruger, and let me check Twitter because I know there's one on Twitter, actually two on Twitter. By the way, you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio throughout the shows, and I look at it as we do it. Sami Zayn and the Bo Dallas. Believer. Yeah, as we get through to answer this question, I'm looking forward to seeing more of Sami Zayn. That's without question.
Absolutely.
Without question. I'm looking forward to seeing more of Paige. I've yet to see Paige in action. I'm looking forward to seeing him. We'll get to that in a minute. Also, Adrian Neville was another one on the list. I'm looking forward to seeing more of Bo Dallas. I'll have a comment about Bo when we get into his match. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more of the women. I want more Paige. I want to see Bayley. I want to see a little bit more of Emma. I know she's on TV weekly now, but I want to see more of her. See more of the women. I want to see what these guys have. I want to see what the talent actually has and see what they can develop. But I'm very interested, and every time I watch it, Lindsay gets this whole long critique from me about the show.
Yeah, which is awesome because I'm actually the one, oh, you should watch NXT. You should totally do it.
And then I finally got into it, and now she gets really long critiques from me about the show.
Which is amazing. But yeah, I'm with a lot of people. I want to see Sami Zayn. I think he's definitely, if you don't know, that's Generico. And, he's obviously got something. I really want to see more of Bayley. I have a crush on Bayley. I think she's awesome. I love her gimmick. I think it's adorable. And I really want to see more of her. I would like to see Paige as well, because I haven't seen Paige in action yet. At least not fully from what I've seen of her, though. She's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I just want to kind of see all the women in general, because they've actually got some really strong workers down there. And so I'm really curious to see all the women and what they can do. Obviously, Mr. I'm more cheesy than Velveeta, Bo Dallas. I'm sorry, he is. And it doesn't help that his face looks like it was carved out of cheese. So yeah, I mean, they have a lot of talent right now that are extremely interesting and fascinating, and I'm really kind of curious to see him. I'm also curious to see, and I never say his name right, Enzo No Amore and Big Cass.
Enzo Amore and Big Cass.
Yes. They're kind of awesome. Not gonna lie.
I'm not as high as Lindsay is on them, but I want to see more of them.
I'm curious, because I want to see the full gimmick, because it's something of, you can find stuff on YouTube and on, obviously, Hulu, but you don't get everything, so you're really only taking snippets, mm-hmm. and it's something of, you know, and if you watch it through other means, you obviously get the full show, so you get a better idea of what you're dealing with. But yeah, so I'm very curious to see them.
Oh, another one, Aiden English, that's the one I'm looking forward to seeing more of.
Yeah, Aiden English has a very interesting gimmick. And that's the thing, that's what you can say about a lot of the talent down there, is they have interesting characters, interesting gimmicks. It's not just wrestler A, B, C, and D.
No, it's
not. They're really making an effort to develop people in their roles and help to give them the best chance possible. I don't know if anybody watched it, but there was a feature done by MTV2, if I could talk, on NXT. And where they gave a tour and you had Triple H answering comments, and it's probably going to be on the NXT special for the network.
It's
where they talk.
Is it the one on MTV.com that we looked at?
Yes.
Yes, it's available on MTV.com right now.
But it's something of, you know, they're talking about how they just don't teach them how to wrestle. They go to acting classes. They have improv classes. There's promo class. You know, they sit down and they watch tapes with them. They work with them and they talk with them. And they really do try to find the best fit for everybody. It's not just something of they're bringing people in to bring people in and kind of hold on to them. It's they're really trying to give everybody the best chance that they can. And the people that you see on NXT, on television, are really the people that they think have that best chance. Because they say in that MTV special, or that MTV little snippet thing, that they've got, you know, 80 people in developmental.
75 to 80 people are down there at one time, yes.
And you maybe see a handful on NXT television. So it shows that they really are the best of the best in terms of what NXT has to offer.
So let's get into the show. There's three matches announced. We'll see appearances by John Cena, Shawn Michaels, you have Bret Hart, Kevin Nash, and Paul Heyman on the panel. The New Age Outlaws are going to be involved in some fashion as well. They're being promoted for the show. But there's three matches on the card. It's a really simple, really simple card, but there's three good matches. We'll start with the first one that I'm remembering off the top of my head. The NXT Women's Championship. Yes, women's. It screwed up Tenzai in the last NXT show where he called it Divas Title, because that's, you know, what they're trained to know.
Yeah.
Where it's Paige defending against Emma, and this is Emma getting her, I believe, rematch for the championship?
No, I think this is her getting her initial shot, because I don't believe Paige has lost it. Paige is the inaugural champion, and I think she's never lost it.
But I believe they were in the finals together. I think.
I believe they were in the finals. Yeah, Emma was in the finals for the title, and then she lost.
Right, so this is her second shot at the championship, and she's beaten she's been beating women for the last few weeks. She's beaten Natalya, where she put up her title shot against Natty at one point. She was able to beat Natty in the match. She just beat Summer Rae in this past week's edition of NXT. The week before that, she beat Sasha Banks.
Believe so, yes.
Or no, I think that was 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago at this point. 2 weeks ago, she won in the beat Alicia Fox as well. And beat her in the sixth Diva tag. The week prior, I believe.
I believe so, yes.
See,
I can't keep it all straight, sorry.
I watched a lot of them in a row, so I'm trying to remember the weeks, but you could tell I've watched the show. I I know names. I know matches. It was Natty, it was Bailey, and Emma against the bad girls, whatever they're called. Mean Girls Club, whatever they're called.
Yeah, I forget their name, but yeah, it was Summer Rae, Alicia Fox, and Sasha Banks.
And they left Alicia Fox hanging in that one. Because they have the flair of NXT Charlotte in that group as well.
Yes, they do.
I like the tagline, the flair of NXT.
It's a nice, subtle little thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. And that's the other thing is I wish, and I kind of hope that we get to see actually more Summer Rae wrestling on NXT, because I don't know if she's been fully called up or not. I think it's something that she's actually still working down in NXT.
Right.
And that she's managing on television.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually love to see more of Summer Rae working, because Summer Rae can actually wrestle.
Yes, I've gotten to see a couple matches with her. She's learning some good stuff down there. She's working pretty good. So it'd be nice to see them get a good shot on television when they get it.
Yeah, so Paige versus Emma. Who do you have?
I'm going with, booking logic tells me Emma. Everything points to Emma. I'm going Paige. I'm going Paige in this one. Everything points to Emma. But I've watched 5-6 weeks of NXT. I have not seen Paige. I believe she was injured and she's working her way back. Think that's what happened?
Yeah, I think she got a minor injury.
So she's working her way back for the show. With Emma on the road on Raw, maybe that point of it would be she's the women's champion, you have her on Raw, but I don't think that's the role they're giving her. Yeah, Paige retains the title.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on this. Emma's getting called up. We don't know if it's going to last. We don't know if it's permanent, but it doesn't make sense to take the belt off of Paige right now and give it to Emma, especially since Emma's on the road. So I would say Paige retains.
So Paige retains. Your next contest of the evening is Sami Zayn versus Antonio. Just Cesaro.
This is going to be a really, really good match because this isn't a ladder match, is it? Is it a 2 out of 3 falls?
I think it's just a straight up 1 fall match. There's been reports that it might be 2 out of 3 falls, but as far as I know, I haven't heard 2 of 3 falls. It's just a straight up 1-on-1 battle, Sami Zayn and Cesaro. Sami Zayn has been petitioning for this matchup for a few weeks. He looked back at his career in 2013, and the one thing that stood out was losing to Cesaro in what everyone was calling one of the matches of the year.
So yeah, if you haven't seen that 2 out of 3 falls match, I know that one was 2 out of 3 for a fact. Go watch it, dear Lord. That was a fantastic match. Anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
that's fine. So you had him campaigning week in, week out, and Cesaro kept saying, no, 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 not going to do it at one point. He even said no and then kicked Sami Zayn in his bad knee, brought him right down to the ground. Sami has a unique look. I like his look with the cap that he wears and the jet cap, I think that's what they're called. And, yeah. But Triple H came out and made the match anyhow. Coming off of the chamber, coming off of everything with this push for Cesaro, it's a live NXT special. Oh, I'm really torn. I'll let you go first.
I'm really torn. I think it's something of I believe Zayn gets his win back here. You know, it's something of, then this is not a shout-out to NXT as we sat here and we've talked it up, but it's NXT. It doesn't necessarily count as far as the main roster is concerned.
Right.
Especially with Cesaro coming out of the chamber and him being on a roll, so it's something of, this is sort of outside of the scope of WWE, especially as far as their storylines are concerned. So I can see it's something of Zayn. I always say their names wrong. I'm sorry.
She'll learn it. She's going to be watching more. She'll learn it.
Yeah.
Look at me. I just started watching. You know. Anyway.
Anyway, Sammy. We'll just call him Sammy.
That's what Cesaro calls him, Sammy. And he says it in a nice little fashion. Anyway, continue.
I think he gets his win back. It's you wanna make the NXT talent look as strong as possible, so I think Cesaro lays down here and Sammy gets his win back. What about you?
Yeah, that sort of logic was in my head. I just didn't want to say it because it's like part of me sees them wanting to give Cesaro the win, but it makes more sense for Sami Zayn to pick up the victory. Then finally on this NXT Arrival show, and by the way, Kinkins, when you listen to this, write these down for us so we remember, even though we're probably about to pick the same thing. Maybe. Or at least we picked two or three so far. NXT Championship is on the line in a ladder match. Bo Dallas defends against Adrian Neville. Adrian Neville's been wanting to get his shot at the title at Bo Dallas, and they keep having confrontations week after week. Bo Dallas is the longest reigning NXT champion in history. He even has a banner hung up, sort of. You never see it. like, they made a big deal banner-raising ceremony, which is a light thing with the number on it, but you haven't seen the banner ever since. Bo is, as Lindsay says, cheesy as Velveeta.
Cheesier than Velveeta.
Cheesier than Velveeta. My bad. Cheesier than Velveeta, which is very cheesy. I see stuff in Bo, but he, to me, is missing a lot of things that will make him the next breakout star, but he has some potential. Like, I was watching NXT earlier today, and I noticed, like, some of his mannerisms reminded me of Triple H at one point in his evolution run as the heel champion, just the way he acted with getting out of the ring with Adrian Neville. He sort of had some of the Triple H mannerisms from then. He has potential. He has little bits here and there, but Bo is missing a couple of factors that can really take him to the next level. But this is what developmental is for, to work those things out. As far as the match goes, money says you got one of those things that Bo needs to learn is to be without a championship and see how this Bo Leaf persona works without a title. So I'm going Neville on this one, even though I wanted to pick Bo.
Yeah, I would agree. Bo definitely has the potential. It's just there's something with Bo, and don't get me wrong, because I like Bo. I just think it's he lacks the charm of other members of his family. There's something about him that, or at least in this persona, where you don't connect to him. He's very difficult to connect to. Mm-hmm. Even though you want to, even though you really do, there's just something about it where it's like you just can't.
Part of you wants to believe, but you can't.
Yeah, it's like, and it's funny because it's like I sit there and I watch him and it's like, and he's cheesier than Velveeta. And it's hilarious. But it's like, it's not meant to be funny. It's meant to be, you know, serious. Because he's supposed to be technically a heel. But I sit here and I laugh at him. And it's not because I think it's horrible. I just think it's funny.
Right.
Because he's like, he's doing the thumbs up and he's got the creepy crazy smile and he's like, you know, I want to thank my fourth grade teacher and my, you know, my dog sitter and my sister's third cousin twice removed or something like that.
Right.
So it's that kind of thing. And it's like, it's so cheesy. It's so incredibly cheesy. But it's funny to me.
Oh, it's okay.
And there's nothing wrong with it, but that being said, you know, Bo is the longest reigning champion. I think if you have Paige retain, you have...
a lot of the titles don't change hands in NXT quite often.
No, because it's something of they take their time. But as much as I look at Bo and I look at Adrian Neville, I think Bo has more than Adrian Neville does. And just part of me tells me that they're not quite ready to take the title off of Bo because it's something of Bo's not ready to come up. Bo will drop that title when he's almost ready to come up and they've got the persona pretty much figured out. Like, you can tell right now that with Bo's persona, they're still very much feeling it out, trying to find really that sweet spot for it. And they haven't, they're on their way, but they haven't found it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something of once they hit that sweet spot and they're getting ready to call him up, that's when he will lose the title. But I don't think it's this week, or I don't think it's this show, and I don't think it's to Adrian Neville.
I can honestly see Neville get the belt, but it won't be a long run.
Yeah, no, I'm going Bo on this one. I say Bo retains. He finds a way to retain.
So there you go. We finally disagreed on one.
Yeah, it's just I don't see the need to take the title off of Bo. Beyond, he has to develop the persona more, but it's something of you could do that at any point. I don't think this show is it.
Okay. So I guess this is where we make the transition to the other show?
And this is where we make the transition to the other show. So we wrap up NXT, we're going to move on to the main roster because, well, there's a big show for the main roster this weekend.
But by the way, before we do that, we should remind everyone, next week we will be covering NXT Arrival on this show.
Yes, we will. We will not be talking about TNA on the Rack itself. We will be doing a Rack Extra for Impact, so stay tuned for that. But we will actually be talking about NXT Arrival because it is a two-hour show.
It is a two-hour show, and it's the live debut of the network, so we're kind of interested.
Yeah, we're very curious. We want to see what it's all about. So next week is going to be very, 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 very WWE heavy, but we're going to try to make it up to you. Everybody, for TNA fans, we're going to try and make that up to you. I promise.
Oh, well, trust me, it's going to be made up. Yeah.
We're going to make it up, but next week, just to let everybody know, we're going to be talking a lot about the network, we're going to be talking about NXT, we're going to be talking about Chamber, all that fun stuff, so tune in for that. But now we're going to move on to, well, the Elimination Chamber, because it's Sunday.
It is this Sunday. Go ahead.
I don't know about you, but I'm stoked.
I'm excited for this show. I really am. I'm looking forward to the show, and there's a couple of reasons why, which we will get into as we go through. By the way, you can send your picks to media at wildtalkradio.com, facebook.com/group/wildtalkradionetwork. Twitter.com/wildtalkradio and facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. You can also, and the WTR The Rack on Facebook as well.
I love how you're like, the Rack one, the Rack Twitter, whatever it is.
No, I forgot the Rack Facebook page. I have a lot of Twitters and a lot of Facebook pages.
Yeah, I know, and you keep creating more.
I have created more. We'll get into that stuff at another point.
Yes, we will. So starting the show is the kickoff match, Cody Rhodes and Goldust taking on Rybacksel. And Ryback, by the way, has a really creepy singlet for Sunday, just to warn everybody.
Yeah, he does. It's kind of creepy. It's based off of the Step Brothers thing. They're in Axel's hometown, so they expect a cheap pop for Axel. I can't see any other reason but Cody Rhodes and Goldust winning this one. I can't figure out a reason for Ryback's to win.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I see Cody and Goldust continuing on a hot streak, and I don't see any reason to end it now.
Yeah, they gotta get their momentum back after losing the tag team titles to the New Age Outlaws. So I'm going with Cody and Goldust. Same.
So speaking of the Outlaws,
oh,
we have
you
your WWE
know?
Tag. No.
I said, oh, you didn't know?
Oh, you didn't know. The WWE Tag Team Champions of the World are taking on the Usos.
When I say Usos, you say, oh, love Road Dogg on commentary. Love him on commentary.
Oh, it's hilarious. Road Dogg and I believe it's Jimmy Uso together. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Yeah. What's your thoughts on this one?
This is a hard one to pick, because obviously the next show is WrestleMania. So it's something of, are the tag titles even going to wind up on Mania, or are they going to just be left off, kind of like with what they're thinking about the Divas title, too? Oh my God, is that what I think that is? Yes, yes, that's what it is. By the way, quick break. Congratulations to The Miz and Maryse on getting married. I have to share this with everybody. This is apparently from the wedding reception, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
They're having fun. All of them, clearly, mm-hmm. are having fun.
Yeah, and a run-in by John Morrison.
Yes. So we have Ziggler, Zack Ryder, Miz, and John Morrison.
It's a party. A party up in there.
It's a party, party, party. I can't wait for more pictures. Anyway, back to the match at hand. This is a hard one to call.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't know if the tag titles are going to be defended, and I honestly don't see them, and when I say them, I mean the New Age Outlaws, taking the titles to Mania. But I also don't see them losing at Chamber, because it's something of, they're going to be a part of, basically they have the titles right now because they're going to be heavily featured on the network as a part of the Attitude Era programming and probably the Monday Night War program and several other things. So it's something of, I don't see them losing at Chamber.
No,
but I see them dropping before Mania.
I don't see them losing a Chamber. It's just sort of one of those things where it looks like the Usos should have at some point get their shot, but they get the gold. But I think they're 1 month too early or one pay per view too early. I'm going with the Outlaws to retain, but I don't expect it to be clean. Yeah, that's all my only thought. The way things go this week, especially what happened on Raw and what's coming up on SmackDown, that you would assume, if you go logically, again, there's that L word that you shouldn't use in pro wrestling, that the Outlaws retain. So I'm going Outlaws retain, using logic to pick that one.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Outlaws retain, but I almost want to say the Usos win.
Don't hedge your bet. Pick one or the other.
I say Outlaws retain. I mean, it's just, it's something of, to me, it doesn't feel right yet. And it's, you can have the Usos, or you can have, you know, Cody and Goldust. You can really have anybody pick up the titles at any time. It's just something of, right now, doesn't feel like the right thing. I mean, especially with the launch of the network.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, and this is no offense to the Usos, but the Outlaws are more well-known than the Usos are. So it's something of, with the launch of the network coming on Monday, you're going to want, all eyes will be on WWE on Monday.
Right.
And you want to have the most visible champions that you can have.
Right, and I can see the Usos getting the belts at WrestleMania in some sort of multi-team thing.
Deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can see that, and that would be awesome if they won at Mania. That would probably be bigger than winning at Chamber, but it's just, it's something of, I don't see it right now. So yeah, I'm with you. Outlaws retain. So after this, we have Darren Young taking on Titus O'Neil in a really kind of random split / rivalry.
Yeah, it's been random. Titus.
And Titus has evaporating pants.
Titus knows how to lose his pants. Darren Young can get into Titus' pants. Boom, chicka. Anyway, whatever.
No. I'm pretty sure Titus doesn't go that way.
No, yeah. Titus wins. I got nothing. I got no preview for this one. Titus wins.
Yeah, they're pushing Titus harder than they are pushing Darren right now. So, again, I'm going to have to agree. Titus wins. They're trying to establish Titus O'Neil as a heel. And it's just something of... at least this match, because I don't think this is over. This is the first, I think, in the series.
Probably.
So, yeah, I would say Titus wins. After this, we have your Intercontinental Champion, Big E, taking on Jack Swagger.
Another one where it's too soon to take a belt off of somebody. Big E retains the belt. Big E, by the way, follow Big E on Instagram. He is the funniest mofo alive.
I don't know why this crap isn't on TV. It needs to be on TV. Seriously, Big E would be over like nobody's business if they would put this stuff on TV.
He does 15-second videos, and they are funny as hell. Go follow him on Instagram. Big E needs to look dominant. They're pushing Big E. Jack Swagger, not so much, but it'll be a decent match. Big E retains the gold. It's just there's no point in taking the belt off of Big E at this point.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Swagger stock is falling. You're starting to see the split of the real Americans, with Cesaro being in the chamber. It's something of that tag team is gradually splitting. This is yet another reason for Zeb to maybe kick Swagger to the curb and stick with Cesaro at this stage. Because, you know, Jack obviously isn't holding up his end of the bargain. So, yeah, I see Big E retaining. It's not going to do anything for Swagger to put the IC title on him, and it's doing more for Big E to have it right now.
Exactly.
So I can see Big E retaining. After this, we have Batista taking on Alberto Del Rio.
Poor Alberto Del Rio is going to get destroyed. He's going to get the pants being off of him. He's going to get destroyed. He's going to get his ass kicked. Batista's going to throw him around the ring a bunch of times. He's going to injure his neck more than it already is. Batista's going to look like the animal. He's going to look dominant. He's going to destroy Alberto Del Rio. And it should be within 7 minutes. Batista wins.
Yeah. Damn it, we can't disagree. Yeah, I agree. Batista wins. Batista's got to win. He's your number one contender heading into Mania. To have him lay down for Alberto Del Rio right now is completely stupid. So yeah, I would say they feed Alberto Del Rio to Batista to make him look completely dominant and give him a nice big victory heading into WrestleMania. Because obviously we have not seen Batista wrestle much. It's only been on pay-per-view.
This will be his first singles match since returning to WWE, since he made his return at the Rumble.
Yeah, so I don't see it being within 7 minutes, but I don't see it being longer than really 12. I do want to see what Batista has. I do want to see what he can still do, you know, as far as wrestling, how much rust he's really got on him. Because when he was in the Rumble, it didn't look like he had a lot, but he had some.
Nope, but he's working the house show, so the rust is coming off.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see what Batista can do. I really, really, really am. Plus, the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer just came out. So, yeah, Batista's going over.
Yeah.
And now we get to the two matches we really want to talk about, waiting to talk about.
You can tell we breezed right through those other ones for a reason.
Well, it's something of a lot of the other ones. It's they just got announced or they've been expected. And it's something that's kind of a little obvious how they're going to go down. These two are not so obvious. We're now probably, which I hope will be the show stealer of the night, you have the Shield taking on the Wyatt family in the mother of all clashes.
Yeah, it is the mother of all clashes. They've been doing a fantastic job building this matchup up. It started with promos where they would be doing promos when the others were in the ring. And then the last 2 weeks, especially 2 weeks ago, that confrontation was, like, sold.
Oh, dude, I was sold. way before that.
But that was the icing on the cake. That took normal people and went sold.
Yeah, that was... If you didn't see it, you had the Shield and the Wyatts come face-to-face last week. And they came to face-to-face again this week. And at the very end of Monday Night Raw, you had a massive brawl break out, you know, which is per the norm. But you had the Shield get involved, and the Wyatt family came out. And there's this brief moment where they all stare down. And then Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family attack. And there's a great freeze shot or a great picture. I'm not sure if it's a screen cap or if it's an actual picture. I believe it's an actual picture that they got. And it just shows Roman Reigns' face as the Wyatt family starts to attack. And it's literally, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of sort of, sums everything up kind of beautifully as far as the Shield. The Shield is walking into this extremely confident, extremely cocky.
Dean Ambrose has, Dean Ambrose is very cocky. He is very arrogant right now. He is the one, Dean wanted the match, and then Roman wanted the match, and you could just tell, once they got the match, they were like, oh yeah, buddy, we got it, we're ready, we're going to take them down. We ain't afraid of their voodoo.
And then Seth's like, guys?
Guys, do we really know what we're getting ourselves into here now?
And Roman's kind of been reconsidering, and, well, Dean just isn't afraid, because there's that line where it's, are you prepared to die for this? And they're like,
Maybe.
But yeah, they have done an absolutely fantastic job. I am buying the pay-per-view for this match, because it will live up to expectations. You've got six guys in there that can pull this off. Bray Wyatt was extremely impressive against Daniel Bryan. The Shield, that goes without saying, and Rowan and Harper have been absolutely dominant recently. I wouldn't say in the last few weeks, but in most of their matches I can recall, they've been beating the crap out of everybody. So this is kind of the interesting for the Wyatt family, because now they're sort of evenly matched. But this is an issue for the Shield, because, well, Bray Wyatt likes to play mind games.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, the Shield has some definite cracks in it.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of tension between Dean and Roman right now. You could see that Bray has sort of, found his way to, We saw the guy who decided to walk out start his little thing, and now Bray has really got it into the mind of the Shield. There's causing a little doubts in the mind and trusting, and, Roman doesn't know if Dean can, is that champion he claims to be, and Dean is like, yeah, I am, Dean is showing off his ego a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That is very evident in this one, but there is a crack in the Shield, and it's going to you have to wonder, are the Shield on the same page? In front of the camera, they keep putting up the brave face that they are on the same page, but you have to continue to wonder, are they actually there? Because tension always can creep up with people.
I would agree. I think it's something of they're going to be united initially, and then I think the Wyatts are going to maybe lead him into a false sense of security, and then that's when everything's going to kind of go to hell. That or the Shield are never going to be able to gain control. Because that's the big thing for the Shield, is if they can gain control early, then they can usually win the match, but it's something of the Wyatt family is so unpredictable, they're so unorthodox, it's really, really, really hard to gain control of them, and it's something of the Wyatt family has the size and strength advantage. And you have Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan completely united under Bray's message. There is no dissonance at all. It's just they are all one.
Right.
So it's something of that's, I think, is going to throw the Shield. And it's, I'm actually really curious to see the confrontation between Bray and Roman.
They've been teasing that on Raw the last 2 weeks when they, you know, both sides getting ready to go head to head. Those are the two guys at the head of the line stepping forward. And it's something where Roman, and Roman looks like he's ready to fight, and when the moment when they get in the ring together, it's going to be like, oh my god. It's going to be an explosion right there. I'm looking forward to seeing Dean get in the ring with one of the members of the Wyatts.
It's kind of adorable to see Dean attack Eric Rowan.
Mm-hmm. I think Eric kind of puzzled Dean a little bit in terms of just the way he reacts to him a little bit. Which will be interesting to see. There's the moment on Raw where Dean just jumps in the air and dives at Eric Rowan. Which was tremendous.
And Rowan just kind of sort of is like, nope! And just, you know, basically knocks Dean out.
Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see those interactions. The two that are in the background are Harper and Rollins. They're just sort of there.
I think Harper and Rollins will be good. I think Harper and Dean will be good. Because, again, those are two that they have worked together on the indies. They know each other very well. So it's something of, I think we're going to get a really good match out of Harper and Dean. At least a matchup. I imagine Seth and Harper will be the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I think the question mark in this really is Eric Rowan. Because I think out of all of them, Eric and Roman are the most inexperienced, I believe.
Out of the six, they are the least experienced. But what this matchup will come down to is, can Dean Ambrose keep himself in check?
And the answer to that is no, because there's going to be something. Bray's going to do something to set Dean off.
The Wyatts are going to lull him into a false sense of security. And Dean's going to, you know, they're going to have the advantage, and then Dean's going to want to pick them apart. And at that point, things could unravel. And we could see Dean on the other, you know, on the wrong side of a Sister Abigail.
We could. And the other thing that we're not considering is, could the, they've also been teasing the split of the Shield. Could we get the Shield split?
Don't think we get the full Shield split, but Dean's overconfidence and the fact that he may cost his team the victory may be the start of the split.
I mean, I almost can see kind of Seth and Roman walking out on Dean.
I don't see anyone walking out. If you see it that way, that's fine. I don't see it that way.
I see something where it's they finally have enough of him and his shit, and they're like, we're done. And they don't help him anymore, or they walk away, or something along those lines.
I don't see that. I see them. Seeing Dean taking the fall, and then Roman and Rollins having that look of, oh, Dean, you just screwed the pooch.
Yeah. It's like, damn it, Dean.
So we're both in sort of an agreement on this one?
Yeah. You know, it's something. The Shield aren't set for WrestleMania yet, and it could be something of the Shield end up facing each other. Bray Wyatt is being pointed at John Cena for WrestleMania, and the Wyatts almost have to win to make Bray Wyatt look strong for Cena. So I'm saying Wyatt family.
Bray pins Dean.
I'm not gonna go that specific, but yeah, I say Wyatt family picks up the victory.
Alright, leads us to the main event.
That leads us to the main event. You have Sheamus taking on Christian, taking on John Cena, taking on Cesaro, taking on Daniel Bryan, taking on Randy Orton for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in the chamber. And this is also the face of the WWE is also on the line match.
Yeah, Triple H said whoever wins will be the face of the WWE. And then Cole questioned him a second time, and Triple H did his trolling of the internet. Yes. It's fantastic. Triple H is such a troll right now. It's awesome.
He's having fun screwing with the internet.
He is so having fun doing the screwing with the internet. It's tremendous. Alright, this one's... I think the end result is kind of clear. That being said, this matchup itself is very intriguing. Because you have a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
I can clearly tell you Christian has no chance in hell.
No, he doesn't. Sheamus doesn't have a chance in hell either.
Okay. So those are the moving parts that don't matter. Now we get into the moving parts. We'll start with Daniel Bryan. A lot of people have the expectation of what are they going to do with Daniel Bryan. And the key to this moving part with Daniel Bryan is, when do you take out Daniel Bryan? Because most of us believe Daniel Bryan is not leaving the Elimination Chamber as the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, because if you're going to give him the moment, do it in a different way. And then I can also see everyone on the internet going, oh my god, Daniel Bryan is the WWE Champion, oh my god, oh my god. But they did it at the Elimination Chamber.
Right.
That being said, the key to this is they've been working over the arm of Daniel Bryan. They are injuring Daniel Bryan, so there's the out for Daniel Bryan. He is hurt. He's the underdog. Will he be 100%? No. But that's okay. But the injury could lead to his downfall. The injury could lead to somebody screwing him over in the chamber. Whether it's the big red corporate machine or the game.
It's kind of all dependent on who they're going to point Bryan at for Mania. The rumor is that Bryan is getting CM Punk's spot, and he's going to get Hunter, and honestly, it makes sense to give Bryan Hunter, because there's already the natural feud built. It's just something of you have the conclusion of Daniel Bryan or Triple H overcoming one or the other. So, I would say, honestly, I don't know if Bryan's going to get screwed, just because there's rumors that Cena will get screwed, but we'll get into that.
We're going to get, I got a theory, we're going to go into that theory next.
Honestly, I would say something happens where either Bryan doesn't go into the chamber.
Okay. I want to hear this. Keep going.
Well, my thought is it's like you have, you know, you do something similar where Bryan gets taken out of the chamber either by Hunter for medical reasons, in quotations.
Okay.
Where they won't clear him.
All right, here's your, I'll give you your screw job off the medical clearance after you go for your next point.
Or it's something of you have Kane beat Bryan down right as he's entering the chamber, which of course results in him not being able to compete, and then they replace Bryan potentially with somebody else.
Alright, first, if you do that, if you thought Royal Rumble was bad, that could turn out really bad. Anyway.
You know, honestly, I don't...
I know you don't care, neither do I. I think it would be fantastic. Just, I'm not disagreeing with that point. I'm just throwing out the obvious. Now...
Oh, I agree.
Now, to play up your medical thing. What if Daniel Bryan gets hurt in the match?
And can't continue.
And can't continue.
Again, that's Rumble, but...
But that, you know, that storyline where the Authority believes he's in too bad of shape and they have to get him out of the match, which cost him the title.
I can see that, and that's a definite alternative, but I can honestly see it's something of Hunter uses his authority to basically say, your arm is too hurt, you're not going to compete. And that's when you could have something of Bryan makes the complaint to either the board or he challenges Hunter.
You can have Daniel Bryan defy authority and compete anyway.
Right.
And maybe that cost him as well.
That could cost him where you have Hunter, you know, come out and physically have him removed from the match. Because it's something of, that man is not medically cleared to wrestle, remove him from the ring immediately. And that's when they send out Kane. Or you have Kane come out and do it and say, per the request of Triple H, you're not cleared to compete. Please exit the chamber now.
Or you have, you, I would give him a few minutes in the chamber and then eventually take him out of it, just because it would go on, it would tell a better story, because you want him in the match a little bit.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. But it's something of, you have the authority, do it in his best interest, and that's when you have Brian then make the challenge to Hunter that, you know, it's, screw you, screw this, I want a match with you.
Right.
I'm done with it. I'm done tiptoeing around this. I want a match, and you have Hunter refuse it. And that's when you have Brian potentially go to the board, or he goes to Vince, or he goes to somebody, and he demands the match. And they're forced to give it to him.
Right. I could see that. I wouldn't say board, but I could see Vince, or I could just see him doing things to get Hunter's attention. So that's scenario one. But I'm assuming Daniel Bryan will have success in the chamber. Don't see him winning the chamber. Hell, he could win, but I just don't see it. Unless they made up their mind and they want Daniel Bryan in the title match at WrestleMania. But I don't think that's the plan. Alright. The other moving part is Cesaro. He's going to shine in this chamber. He's on a rise.
Oh, he is.
He's on the rise, and I wouldn't doubt he would be one of the final three in the chamber. Hell, I could see him in the final two. I could see him in the final two. That being said, the other moving part is John Cena. We know his destiny.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly defined. It's Bray Wyatt, WrestleMania, new match for John Cena. It's defined. The Wyatts will attack. The Wyatts will pop up. Maybe you do the jump cut thing. They appear in the chamber. They take him out of the chamber. They beat him down in the chamber. They cost him. They let Cesaro pin him or whatever. Either way, John Cena gets destroyed by the Wyatts.
An alternate theory could be, you could have it where, and I've been kind of thinking about this, where if you, for whatever reason, if you have the Wyatts lose against the Shield, a way to kind of redeem them and make them strong is you have the Wyatt family take out somebody in the match. Like, say, a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, because it was, you know, basically said, Christian is, the only reason he's in there is they don't have anybody else. Poor guy. But you have Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family take out Christian, kind of like what they did to Kofi with Edge a couple years ago. And you have, or actually more than a couple now, but, and you have Bray Wyatt enter the chamber. And Bray Wyatt costs Cena the match. I can also see, like you said, the jump cut. And what would be really cool is you still have Cena in his pod when they do the jump cut. And when it comes back, Cena's gone.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jump cut. Destroyed. He's gone. I can see
that. You know, the pod is still locked, but Cena's gone. I don't know if they could logistically do that, but...
They could, they kill the lights. You can get them down.
Yeah, so it's something of... You have the Wyatt family drag John Cena off, presumably. You have no idea where he's happened, and then it comes out either on Raw the next night or on .com during that day, that Monday that, you know, John Cena was later found bloodied and beaten in a parking lot, similar to what they did with Daniel Bryan, or he was found backstage, beaten, and then you have John Cena come out that Monday night. And that's how you start the stuff with Bray Wyatt. And that would be really cool. Just, it's like, he's gone.
I can see that. I can't see Bray entering the chamber as a competitor, but I can see that last part.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stretch to have Bray enter the chamber, but that's something of, you know, the way you redeem Bray. If, for whatever reason, the Wyatt family loses against Shield.
If the Wyatt family loses against the Shield, that's the stupidest move they've ever made.
Right, but it's a way to redeem Bray.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But it's... Yeah, I agree. The Wyatt family will attack Cena. They will cost him the chamber, and that will be the setup for Bray Wyatt versus John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yep. So, we're both in agreement, Randy Orton wins?
Yeah, I say Randy Orton retains. That makes the most sense. I don't see them putting the titles on Cesaro. Sheamus, no. Christian, definitely not. Bryan will probably have a different path. Cena obviously has a different path. Batista is technically a face, so it makes the most sense to have Orton retain and then go on to face Batista.
Yes, it does. So there you go. That's our chamber picks. I don't think we really disagreed at all.
No. Well, a lot of it is, you know, all joking aside, a lot of it is pretty logical, especially seeing as they're not going to deviate from the WrestleMania plans that we know of.
Nope. So we're going to get the strong WrestleMania push. And that is fantastic. By the way, send pics to twitter.com/wildtalkradio, media.wildtalkmedia.com, facebook.com/groups/wildtalkradionetwork, and facebook.com/WTRRack and Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, so on that note, I think that's everything, isn't it?
Oh, that is everything. Yes. Yes, it is.
So, well, you got stuffs to shill.
I do have stuff to shill. Saturday night, midnight edition is CB Radio. It's the weird, the wacky, the unusual. If you go back and listen to last week's show, Ace Love with a transvestite? No, not really. But he got an offer. So check it out at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We'll have the boys make some picks. And you know always how that goes. So do that and all that fun stuff. It's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual at CB Radio. Sunday night is WTR Sunday Night Live, 11 p.m. Eastern, as we'll be recapping the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Join Mason Omega along with myself, as Tim will be on the road this week. We're sending him out on assignment this week, so he will not be on the show live, I don't believe. Things could change, but he's going to be on assignment this week. Monday night is the Raw post-show following the big launch of the WWE Network. We will be live at 11:30. Most likely, I believe it's 25-30 minute post show, so we'll be live once that goes off the air. So just be here. We'll be around 11:30 p.m. Eastern. South of Lindsay, where we recap what will surely be the biggest day in WWE history, one of the biggest days since probably the last 14 years, and certain people, not mentioning any names, will probably be on that show.
Wait, what was that?
Nothing. I didn't say anything. I had a cough. Something was stuck in my
throat. Oh, you had a cough?
It was stuck in my throat. Something, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Stuck in my throat. That's all. Yeah. So check it out.
What's that?
I have no idea. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern. We have a lot to get into next week. We'll be talking WWE Elimination Chamber. We'll talk about NXT Arrival. We'll be talking all the news you can possibly handle. We're going to have a big show next week. Tune in there, because it's the big, big spectacular known as The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com. Follow us on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. WTR_Rack on Twitter. Cigarette Butts and Bandanas on Facebook, and CB Radio WTR on Twitter for that show. Yeah, your turn.
Alright, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LINSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. On my website, under the Contact Us link, is a link to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy my artwork, it is available for sale on my Redbubble store. Just click the link, it'll take you right there. Can't give out the link because it's really convoluted and it would take you too long to write down anyway. So just click the link on the website, take you right to it. If you just want to view my artwork, go to behance.net/Lynn's Ward, same as the Twitter, and most of my artwork is available up for your viewing pleasure. There are also links on different pieces that are for sale in the Redbubble store on my Behance as well, so if you just want to go to a certain piece in the story, it will take you to it. Listen to The Rack every week, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. Visit rackradioshow.com. Tweet us at WTRthe_rack. And, of course, listen to all the other fine programming on this network, as we all work very, very hard, and we don't get paid for it. So our payment is the fact that you guys listen and enjoy the show. So please listen and enjoy. Make your friends. Force them. We don't mind. Of course, also visit our fine sponsors, PWMania.com for all your news needs, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, so anything and everything TNA, go there, check them out, they're awesome. And of course, check out Memorabilia Lane, memlanepromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. They've got some awesome wrestling stuff. I'm sure they're probably going to eventually have stuff from the Olympics, I don't know though. So visit the website early, visit often, again, memlanepromo.com, to see what they're going to have available. So on that note, we are going to blow this pop stand for the week. We will see you next week with, as Rock said, a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!